September 1st, and I don't think that I've got the right equipment in to do what I normally do, so I have to forget about all of these things. I am somewhat cold and hard. And I'm not a nice person, particularly when it comes to trying to inspire people to choose the higher course. Just listening to one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, the diplomats of the kingdom of God, know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is run by missionary diplomats, predominantly imbued with attributes that would set them apart as kind and loving men. I have not been groomed in the church to be this way. I have never held significant office. And so I come to you completely unpolished. I've never been the bishop of a ward, and I've never been the state president of the state. I have never been 70, nor a mission president. Most of my employment, which has far more to do with doing whatever is necessary to make something work. Often on the wing of prayer, a lot of prayer. Anyway, and the things that need to be done, far more work effort, resources allocated to what makes things work. I am not a Protestant. I did not come from a Protestant background, particularly. I don't know if Jews are considered to be particularly loving, but I have no idea. Everything I know about my paternal heritage is fraught with mental, what would be called mental illness. And striving against real oppression. Jews are universally true. It does not bother them. It's a behavior. Jews have been historically at that. And I don't want to downplay this. Historically oppressed. But who cares? Some oppression is brought on by our own doings, our own hands. Christians are not wrong to say that Jews killed Christ. And perhaps as a consequence of this, Jews have suffered over centuries, stretched into millennia. There is someone at this point in this slow return of Jews to Jehovah, Jesus Christ, which is a part of this. He's not kind, he's not sweet, appeals to some limited love, don't fall well over our ears. When I hear the injunctions of the two I apply a little bit of translation, as is so often needed in working with Scripture, especially ancient Scripture. The first commandment to my ears says that thou shalt be devoted to God with all your heart, mind, mind, and strength. That devotion typically looks like obedience to his dictates, an alignment with the agenda of God, which is his work and his glory, the immortality and eternal life of man, immortality Christ has accomplished. Each of us will rise. Eternal life, exaltation, the life that God intended to be. A life dripping with enforced service. Sometimes the will of God is that people who have been flooded out from a circumstance need to leave their old life behind and seek a new life in a better place, as opposed to constantly rebuilding, crying out, saying, please help me, please help me. Not throwing up a cheap, rickety rug over a derelict house in a dying town. But moving on to better prospects. More work may be required, but work that becomes efficacious. Work with profits better. Places that offer better. That's why the prophets, especially our Eve here, first tells us. Preach to think celestial. The celestial kingdom opens opportunity wide. For those who desire progress, and this is a church of progress, not a church of coddling, not a church of stroking, grooming, making people try to feel good with their present circumstances. This is not the church of those things. And it's not surprising when people leave the church because they came into it with different desires. Get up on your feet. Shake the dust off of you. Appeal to the heavens. Pray to God that you might get an interest, a desire for the better things. To burst aligned with the purposes of God, exaltation. And then inject them. Convert yourself to them. And make it your purpose. There is certainly a lot to be said for big guns. But there are people who are going to listen to you. I'm not here to take care of people who want to hear sugary platitudes. Please, 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 please desire the example of Jesus Christ. I don't do that. What is set before you? The gospel is preached to you. If after hearing the gospel you have no interest in it, farewell. Perhaps at some future time you might find any of this vaguely interesting. Don't be surprised that if Christ in his mercy and his love makes your life miserable in service to trying to jumpstart your interest in progression, greater things, ultimately exaltation. Don't be surprised. Perhaps our prayers might change in relation to those around us. Father, do whatever is necessary to help my neighbor see the light of Christ and desire it. Pray for this. I don't know what that will be. I don't know your heart. As much as the gift of discernment lets me know. Which is often to know if your church is being real. If you are lying about your commitment for some reason, thinking that Christ is an idiot and that he cannot see, and he sees into your heart perfectly. He sees into my heart. But I know that often wounds must be pulled open to clean them before they can be properly bound up toward you. Often people have to hit rock bottom, as they say, before they can choose the better course far more consistently. Christ blesses our efforts. And I hear many testimonies. From people who have taken the test, tried that faith. As we hear about in Alma in the Book of Mormon. And can testify of the Lord's intervention in their lives. It is real. And then some, after the test is done, fall back into the Lord. This happens often because we often lack results. And each time we turn back to Christ, we will see those blessings. Each time. But we know the Book of Mormon has a dark tale. But those who do not remain steady on the path. What is the difference? What is the essential difference between Mormon, surrounded by death, carnage, and King Jacob, who revels in evil and wickedness, glutts himself off of the labors of others? What is the difference? Obedience, perseverance in obedience to the Lord. He who loves you . What's my translation of the word love when it comes to Jesus Christ? I don't know if there's a single word that might better do it, such as devotion is to God. Persistence. Perhaps. But it needs to be a persistence. Each of us has the ability to steer our lives. And that's what I demand, cajole, roar out to you. Far more interested in little twaddling things than about the things of God. The labor requires the full fruits and vegetables from the ground. The effort required on which I am particularly lazy. So I do not have a good harvest. Harvest I have. So we put that kind of labor into bringing our children to Christ, bringing our neighbors to Christ, bringing our spouses and ourselves to Christ. Not just with flattering words. Satan uses flattering words to get us to go away. If we only think that wavering are flattering words to try to keep you here, I think we'll meet with less effect. Trying to out-flatter Satan is the interesting concept that I reject. Satan desires to have you. And if you don't put an effort into not being taken. He will win it in mercy. He will take your heart. And you can scream to Christ for deliverance. But unless you are willing to do what Christ desires, what Christ demands, use the right words. You will fall. At least from your potential. He might not be able to drag you all the way down, but he will certainly make sure that you never enjoy exaltation with Heavenly Father Jesus Christ. It is not a function of love that will get you there. It only sweetens the pot and just somewhat. If you seek sweetness, the devil pours sugar on everything. And if you only follow a sweet Jesus, you won't have the goal. And then Jesus preached upon any number of principles. And as we, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, fall to offering lollipops, just as Christendom does, we fail to bring souls to Christ, who labored, who suffered, who died to accomplish his mission. And that our road will involve much the same. Christ is looking for fellow servants. Christ is looking for joint heirs. To some degree, we rise in coattails to the back to Heavenly Father. So I think you will find that if you think that simply proclaiming Jesus as your Savior and saying, I love Jesus, he loves me, will keep you on those coattails, I think you're sadly, sadly deluded. I preach the Christ who is the general of our army, an army that will go into every country, visit every place, take the gospel to everyone. We are reading right now, my wife and my son. We are reading Saints, Life Pool. And feeling the pain of believers in the Book of Mormon on the African continent in Ghana, in Nigeria, who just simply wanted to be baptized, but yet could not be through lack of priesthood. And the wonderful splitting of the darkness and the light shining through that came with the proclamation that all worthy men might hold the priesthood. That everyone can enjoy the fruits that come of baptism, then the reception of the Holy Ghost. The ability to come to the temple, do work, do baptisms and confirmations for our dead ancestors. It is a good thing to venerate your ancestors, though not to worship. It is a greater thing to bring the gospel to them so that they may enjoy the same fruit, the fruit of the tree of life, the same as you came. That we can all strive forward, grasping on to the rod of iron. Stay on the straight and narrow path. Don't not listening to the voices of derision. That would convince us to leave it, to put it aside, stay on the path, strive forward. It is a work, it is a labor, and to try to keep as many as we can on that path, to desire these things. The joy of coming to where Christ is. Coming to where the Father is. Not just to be in their presence, but to be like them. To have adopted their ways. To have the same purposes. Bringing spirits into the world, raising them up to become like their Heavenly Father. As we become like Heavenly Father, help them become like us. To enjoy that fruit of eternal life. I don't want to sugarcoat it too much. Because sugar won't sustain you through the journey. Might not even decently start you on the path. We want to get you milk and meat and the fatness so that you can have the energy and the drive to persevere. And these things are not handed out in unconditional love lollipops and sugary cocktails that make you feel really good. This is not a work that feels good. This is a labor looking forward to the ultimate joy. And the ultimate joy is to continue working. The Lord bless you, Lord keep you. I'm doing it anyway, so I might as well do it now. I'll leave you with the ultimate words. With my blessing, the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up your countenance, lift his countenance towards you, and give you peace.